If you have your Bibles, you're going to take them, turn to Luke chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 37 to 49. I'm covering a lot of material today. I got a lot of thoughts that come from all of these verses. So this morning, what I want to do is I'm going to read the passage, and I'm going to give a few thoughts and points about it. But the bottom line is I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you today. We're talking about real or counterfeit, and I'll come back to that at the very end. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed. And its destruction was complete. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would hear today, but not just hear. I pray we would respond and do so with faith and action according to your word. Lord, help us to be hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, as I said, there's so much there. Jesus is addressing, I think in the broader sense, our attitudes and the thoughts of what's going on in our hearts. The command that we heard last week about love your enemies, that is a powerful command. Yet it's challenging to put that into action. Anybody find that true? I mean, there's also scriptures about lying. Come on, it's hard. But the teaching we're also looking at today is just as difficult. In verse 37, we read these words, "Do not judge." Probably one of the most quoted verses out of the Bible by the world at large. You've probably heard it from someone like this: "You can't judge me," or "You don't have the right to judge me." Do not judge me, right? Their statement, though, when they make that statement, kind of is the conclusion of, just let me do my own thing, and whatever my personal choices are, they're my personal choices. The problem with that is people don't want to be challenged for their wrongdoings. Did you know the Bible says to flee from evil? Which requires that we have to make a judgment about what's good and what's evil. You said, do not judge. Well, I got to make judgments about what's good and evil if I'm going to choose to do what's good. The Word of God tells us that a true Christ follower obeys what the Word of God teaches. Church, we have a guide to how we're supposed to live. And that's why we study the Word of God. That's why we walk through Scripture, because we're wanting to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I want to hear what the Spirit of God, I want you to hear what He's personally speaking to you. Think for a moment, a football team just finished the first half and they go into the locker room and they're sitting there. The coach begins to talk about a few of the plays that didn't work. And then he kind of points to you and he says, hey, you were in the wrong spot on the field. And on that play, you're supposed to be doing this. And he tells you what it is. What do you think would happen if you looked at your coach and said, coach, don't forget what Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. How do you think that'll go over with that coach? It's that coach's job to actually bring correction so that you can do better. Church, whether you like it or not, judgments have to be made all the time to correct what is wrong. On your way here, those who were driving this morning, you were making corrections all along the way so you could stay within your lane. If you didn't touch the wheel, you would have not stayed in your lane. You would have made the right turns. We are all the time making corrections because we know what's right and we know what's wrong. So whether like it or not, we all need correction. Amen. What I believe that Jesus, though, is dealing with in this passage is this. Jesus is condemning a judgmental or condemning spirit. He doesn't want us to be choosing and saying that person's that way. Let me give you a few that might help us to say, don't do these things, like this. Number one, do not draw conclusions before you have all the facts. I know that's challenging because we want to react to things. We want to react fast to them. And yet, sometimes we don't have all the facts. We don't have all the information. A second thing we can do is be careful to not judge the motives of another person. Oh, you go, I know what they were thinking. No, you may not know what they were thinking. And we're so quick to judge what we think their motive was. Don't do it. Third, we should never conclude that someone is beyond hope. I know we look at people, Lord, they're beyond hope. We make it come out of our mouth. We don't do it. Church, you need to understand the worst situation should always walk in it with the attempt of love and to point people to the grace of God no matter what the situation is. So those are the things we shouldn't do. So you say, well, what should we do? Well, let's look at what Jesus said. First of all, I believe this is one thing we can do. Christ followers have a forgiving disposition. Did you hear the last part right after he says, don't judge, don't condemn? What does he say? Forgive and you'll be forgiven. He comes right back with not just what you don't do, but what do we do? How do we live? How do we react? Ephesians, Paul writes these words in chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In other words, since we've been forgiven by God for all of our wrongdoings, for all of our rebellion, we should be willing to represent Christ and forgive others. In fact, in our willingness to forgive others, it's a sign that we understand what it means to be forgiven. Forgiveness is the opposite of a condemning spirit. And I believe that when we forgive like we are supposed to give, it will reveal the heart of Jesus and show that we're His followers. Another thing Jesus tells us in verse 38 is that Christ followers have a generous heart. Here's what it says. Give, and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus is calling us to a spirit of generosity, not judgment, to be generous to people in our hearts, in our thoughts. Throughout the Bible, we're urged to use what we've been given to honor the Lord and to help others. Proverbs tells us this, some of the wisest statements ever written, says, honor the Lord with your wealth. The first fruits of all your crops, and your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. I know that there's prosperity teaching out there, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm telling you that God will take care of you. God will honor you. I'm not saying it, but we need to honor the Lord first. We need to make sure He's first. Our first generosity goes to Him. And I know there's a lot of people who want to give to all the humanitarian things out there. And I'm not saying they're bad, but I think honoring God first is the first priority. 2 Corinthians, Paul says this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. I don't know how many of you, I grew up in Mississippi, and during my teenage years, my dad got this idea that we moved out to the country and we started farming, and we started with a few rows of this and that, and after 2 years it grew to 2 acres of just green beans and corn, and it was just too much, and we learned that. But I got thinking, what if we would have just planted 2 seeds of corn? Just, we're going to 2 seeds, man. You sow sparingly, what do you think you're going to reap? I'm not even sure those 2 seeds are going to produce anything. That's why you usually put multiple seeds in one place, and because you don't know which will produce. Whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Listen to verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart. Now, to give, you need to understand, one of the things that the first part is I obey the word of God. That should be my first decision. That's why we talk about tithe. That's why we talk about giving. That's why we talk about offerings. But it needs to be your decision to obey the word of God. And then, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I never want you to feel like you have to give. I don't want you to feel that way. Our kids have been raising funds for Speed the Light and BGMC for missions, and we just kind of made it fun for them, the boys against the girls, and the next Sunday we're going to find out who wins, and somebody's going to get slimed. That's kind of the thing, we're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it because I know it's not me, because I'm not the representation for the boys or the girls. But you can have fun with things like that, but never give under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. We got to make sure we keep things in proportion, because I a lot of people want to stop. You need to give. I think you need to give as the Lord directs you and do it cheerfully. Jesus says that when we're generous and we give cheerfully, I believe that God will be generous with us. He'll take care of us. You will reap according to how you sow. And I believe we've got to give out of every resource we have, not just our treasure, but our time and our talents. We need to give generously of ourselves. Now, let me back up a little bit. Jesus, for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at what he's been teaching, what's called the Sermon on the Mount, or at least the same content that was on the Sermon on the Mount. The blessings and the woes. And then last week, command to love your enemy. This week, don't judge, don't condemn. You have to forgive. You got to be generous. And he tells us all these things. And then he drives home the point with 5 word pictures that he gives us. He calls them a parable. And so they're stories to help us understand and learn to activate upon them. Here's the first 2 word pictures, and I believe they illustrate basically the same point. In verse 39 and 40, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. In the first picture, you need to understand, if neither person has sight to see where they're going, it doesn't matter who's leading whom. Right? The problem is danger, though, is in their path. The second picture, Jesus says, a student's not above his teacher. I believe what he's talking about here is this. We must choose our leaders carefully. We must choose our leaders carefully. If you want to learn, if you want to learn about auto mechanics, and maybe you want to learn some culinary skills so you're a great cook, and if you want to have a green thumb, you have a choice of who's going to teach you. You can come to me. I'll teach you. But you need to know, it'll be the blind leading the blind. And when we get to that lawnmower stuff, there could be danger. And I'm not sure about culinary. You don't want me cooking for you. And this is about the honest truth. I can barely boil water, okay? But if you want to learn about certain things, talk to someone who knows them and understands them. You have to find a capable teacher or leader. And this is especially true when it comes to the spiritual part of your life. And I'm kind of picking on me here. You know, I would have not chose to preach this scripture because it challenges me. How do you know if you have a reliable spiritual teacher? Well, let me give you some things, and I think you need to ask some questions. First of all, is the teacher teaching the scriptures? I love writers and books, and I do topical teachings. But church, if it's not in the Word of God, if it's not foundationally built upon the Word of God, then you need to be concerned about that. Is the teacher giving the whole counsel of God's Word, or are they fixated on only one part of what the Scripture says? You can sense that and know that. You'll hear it in doctrine and talk, but what's the whole counsel of God's Word say? How about number three, what character do you see in the teacher? Even maybe a bigger one is, what character do you see in those who faithfully sit under that teacher? I didn't want to write that one down. You can learn a great deal about a teacher from their students. For instance, if the students are judgmental, it could be because the leader is judgmental. On the other hand, maybe they've got a joyful spirit and they're hungry to learn the truth, and that too could reflect on the teacher or their leader. So you need to choose your leader carefully. And let me add this statement to all of this. I do not know everything there is to know, not anywhere close. Let's get honest. God is God, and we really think we understand Him. I believe He is. I believe that we're sinners, and I believe He sent a Savior. And I believe that those who believe and put their faith in Him will be saved. The rest of it is a walk of going, who are you? What do you want to do in my life? Well, I want to know you more. Church, I don't know everything, but my heart is to know Him more and more, but to do so through His Word. The next picture Jesus gives us in Luke 6, 41 and 42 says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Let me pause and go to Celebrate Recovery here. It's amazing how many of us can notice faults in others. We're quick to notice it. I mean, it's like, man, they need help. Come on, how many have ever said that? Yeah, we have. I look at you every week going, Lord, they need help. But I'm like, wait a minute, Lord. Let me get the plank out of my own eye first. Listen to what He says. How can you help your brother? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me get the speck out of your own eye when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Those who might be struggling with something, I'm telling you, Celebrate Recovery could be a great beginning for you. It won't be the end. It's just always a beginning. Because you're going to learn Him more and more. But I want us to be able to help each other. But sometimes we got to dig that thing out of our own eye first. Imagine a homeowner. He sees some little random sticks in his neighbor's yard, and he walks over to his neighbor and says, you need to pick up those sticks. While the whole time he's ignoring that he had a tree that fell in his yard. Trying to deal with everybody else's problem and not your own. I believe Jesus is addressing attitude and how we act upon that attitude. Because the person who has the right attitude always looks at their own heart first. Always. Church, we approach each other with humility. that comes from an awareness of our own weaknesses and our own struggles that we're going through. Proverbs 21:2 reminds us, people may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines the heart. There's a lot of us that think, I think I got it right this time. But the Lord really knows. We need to let the Lord speak and work in our hearts and let Him remove the things that are hindering us from growing like we should. Clean up your own yard first. Then you might be able to effectively help your neighbor. A fourth word picture is about a tree and its fruit. Here it is again, no good tree bears bad fruit, and no bad tree bears good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. If you saw a tree that had lemons on it, what kind of tree is it? It's a lemon tree. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Basically, Jesus, I think, is saying kind of what you hear or see on the outside of a person could be a good indication of what it looks like on the inside. Jesus is saying if we watch someone's life, we can learn about their heart. And don't misunderstand me. We all have bad days. How many have bad days? We do, because none of us have it all together all the time. However, we observe people over time and long enough, you will see certain patterns and tendencies that have developed in their life. But I hope we'll develop these that are found in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What would happen if you begin to see those traits in a person's life? I think you would know something about their heart, wouldn't you? One more word picture that Jesus gives us, and it powerfully illustrates, I believe, the difference between a real Christ follower and a counterfeit one. Real or counterfeit? I want to read it from Matthew's account. Matthew records more of the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to go read it, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But if you do, beware. It should change your life. At the very end of this sermon, and he does so on this same occasion when Luke records, this is the story he tells. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The picture is pretty clear. Two men are building homes, one built on a sand and one built on a solid rock to make sure his had a good foundation. Both of them, the storm came and hit both houses. The house on the sand washed away and was completely destroyed, but the house built on the rock withstood the storm and remained steady. Jesus says the person who built their house on the rock is like a person who not only hears the word, but puts them into practice. Most of us understand that practice is not perfect. I think it's one of the things when we read the word like this, we think, well, I gotta know Jesus and be perfect. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm teaching you and I want you to practice. I want you to begin to practice these things. When I was a little kid, about 10 years old, I played peewee football. I'm thin now. You can imagine how thin I was then. And at first I was on offense, and they thought I was thin. I could run fast. But the problem is once I put all the shoulder pads on and all that, it weighed me down, and I didn't have the muscles to carry. You know, without it, I was fast, but with it, I wasn't. So they decided to put me on defense. And I hated it because it was about tackling, and tackling hurt. I got to hit that guy. And so I was afraid, but my teacher came along and said, let me show you how. And began to teach me and show me how to tackle without being hurt. It still hurt, but not as much. The thing is, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be able to walk this Christ life out, and it's not going to be easy. And you may falter at times. But that's why Peter writes, of all people, confess your sins. He's faithful and just. He'll forgive you. We just keep coming back. We keep getting up. I believe one of the things we need to guard is how we live with what we hear and choosing what are we going to do with it. I want you to hear God speaking to Elijah. It's in the Old Testament. Here's the words found in Ezekiel 33. It says, as for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, come, hear the message that has come from the Lord. Isn't that great? I mean, like, God's going to speak, and man, let's go, let's get in church. Let's hear what God's got to say. Verse 31, my people come to you as they usually do, and sit before you and hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. For they hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. God came to Ezekiel and said, Ezekiel, you need to say this to the people. And Ezekiel gets up and sings the songs and gets everybody, and they're all like, yeah, this is love, this is great. He speaks the words, but they do nothing with it. Can I be honest with you? The same story repeats itself over and over and over. And yet Jesus, in this portion, is really coming to his church. And he has Luke pen these things by the Holy Spirit so they weren't just for then, they're for now. Here's my point. It's easy to profess faith in Christ, but doing what he says is faith in Christ. Well, a lot of people want to go, oh yeah, I know he died. He died even for me. But church, you've got to put into practice the things of God's word, or your house will crash one day. Jesus said those who obey are people who are going to obey his word and follow it, and then their house will stand in the midst of the storm. And by the way, there's all kinds of storms that come in many different forms. But the house of a real follower of Christ is going to stand. The question is, are you living real or counterfeit for Jesus? What are you living for? I was in Canada for 5 years. And I went into the bank in Canada at one day, and I needed to exchange some money, and I needed some hundreds into American cash. And so when I got them, they counted them out like they do. And then I took them, and I stepped outside the bank, and I was kind of going through them in my wallet. And when I was thumbing through, I'm like, one just doesn't look right. I kind of look at it, and then I pulled it out and felt it. I'm like, this doesn't feel right. So I immediately go back in the bank, and I'm like, they're going to believe me here. I'm trying to trade a real, because I know that's counterfeit. Well, I walked in, and I handed the stack, and they apologized, and I knew them, and they knew I was not trying to do anything wrong, but they apologized, and they replaced it. I want you to know, I didn't know the difference because I was trained to notice counterfeit, but all my life, I just felt the real thing. People are looking in this world for the real thing. The reason our world is confused is because we have too many hypocrites. They're speaking of love, they're speaking of it, but they're hearing the words but not really doing anything with them. I think at some point we've got to change the spectrum of how we're going to live for Jesus. Now, I couldn't do this earlier because it was part of my illustration, but by the way, I'm giving you a $100 bill this morning because I want you to give it back to me in a year. No, I'm just... No. Happy birthday again. You turn 99, I'll give you a $100 bill too. I'm just giving her something to look forward to next year. Let me close with this. Pastor James, would you come? I'm going to close very simple and as quickly as I can. I want us to be real Christians, real followers of Christ. Not hearers, but doers. James says this in James 1:22, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. You must do. You must do. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. I want to read to you a portion of scripture that probably is one of the heaviest scriptures for the church to hear. But it's the very words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount before his last illustration of the wise and the foolish builders. This is his story. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, this is Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know what this scripture tells me? Sadly, it tells me there is a heaven and there is a hell. It tells me not everybody that even says, Lord, Lord, gets in. And you go, well, why? I thought if I love him, and he loves me and he forgave me, that I would get in. But Jesus is clear in this because listen to what he says. Many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I know you're probably confused. How in the world can they do those things and cast out demons? And because you need to know that Jesus is faithful to his name, no matter what vessel it comes out of. That's why he says his word will never go out void. Because why? He's the deliverer, not the person. And there are people who are out there, and it's sad that whether it's prophecy or casting out demons or performing miracles, don't get lost in those things. Don't ever go seeking those things. You seek the giver, not the gift. We're here to worship King Jesus, not his acts. It saddens me because the next story he tells is the story of the wise and the foolish builders. And the only difference, everybody heard, but not everybody practiced. I wish I could tell you, everybody's going to make it. Just love Jesus and you're going to make it. I can't, because Jesus teaches us. If you want to really walk this thing and be real, because this is really the dividing line. Are you real or are you counterfeit? Because you're going to love your enemies and you're going to love your enemies. You don't have to debate it anymore. The bottom line is love them. Don't worry about what they've done to you, what they've said about you. You love them. You go, well, I don't know if I can forgive them. Forgive them. Just forgive them. Forgiveness is your part. Restoration comes later if it's able to happen. But you forgive. Be generous. Be generous, people. I just wonder if we've just not heard him. Are we hearing the words? Or are we ready to practice them? We're about to find out as we keep walking through, because he's got other teachings. He's going to come back. Other lessons we need to learn. But we need to start with what we've heard and put it into practice. Because church, I really believe the following of the word of God and the people of God, if they're really living it, I believe there will be signs and wonders. It just follows God people. And I'll tell you, out of the Bible, and we're going to walk through this, over 90% of the healings and the miracles that happened in the marketplace, not in the synagogue. Why? Because the believers and the power and the living started out in the marketplace, where those who could not or didn't understand, God began to work because people were practicing living out the word, really believing by faith. I know he can heal. I know who he is. So church, I'm challenging us. Let's rise up. Let's really be real people. I don't want him to say, you hypocrite. Probably one of the strongest terms that we've heard Jesus say so far. Why? He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his followers. And say, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to teach you. Because guess who the one who's the greatest teacher? Is him. And now, we're going to start practicing. You may mess up, right? But you might get it right. And you just keep practicing. And one day maybe it will perfect a little bit. But more so, hear and do. So church, I don't want to be Ezekiel. I don't want the Lord to come to me and go, hey, they love the beautiful songs and the music, but they're not practicing. Because that's what Ezekiel heard. It had to break his heart. Because you're trying so hard. Church, I believe this thing is serious and more serious in this day than it's ever been. To what we're going to believe and where we're going to walk and who we're really going to put our faith in. I'm telling you, I'm standing on the Word of God, and my faith is in Jesus Christ, and I don't want to just hear it. I want to act upon it. I want to begin to practice it in my own life. And I want to practice it more and more. I want to get rid of that judgmental and condemning spirit. I don't want that in me. I want that forgiving spirit. I want that generous spirit. I want that spirit that loves people. I got to practice that. And the best people to practice on is the people you don't love. Start. Heavenly Father, this day, I do release the people to the work of the Holy Spirit in their personal lives, and then us as a church. Help us get the plank out of our own eye first. Help us deal with our issues. And then maybe we can get the speck that we might see somewhere else. Help us grow, God. Help us honor you as we live for you. We want to be Christ followers, hearers and doers who are wise. And when storms come, our house stands because we're built upon you and practicing what you've taught us. Teach us, Lord. We want to be like our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen.